Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Matt Couch.
So he got onto a boat and crossed over and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man is blasphemous." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or 'Arise and walk'? But then you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take your bed and go to your house." And he rose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. As a child, I was taught that salvation was a one-on-one thing between me and Jesus. Sin put me in danger, but I could single-handedly remove that danger by doing three things: recognizing it, really feeling sorry for it, and asking God to forgive it. Then my sin was forgiven. It was all there was to it. No one needed to be involved in that transaction except for me and Jesus. It was up to me to repent and up to Jesus to forgive. Nobody else was needed. Embracing Orthodoxy, I learned that this is not quite the entire picture. In fact, forgiveness often happens within the context of community. I'm going to go read Mark chapter 2, which is Mark's account of the healing of the paralytic. All the church fathers, when they commentate on Matthew 9, they point to Mark 2. Exact same story, just a few extra details to put things in context. And this is Mark chapter 2, 1 through 11. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even at the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes who were sitting there are reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. He said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "Surely we've never seen anything like this." St. Peter Chrysologus, I'm from the South. He was a 5th century church father, a quote-unquote doctor of homilies, had this to say about the paralytic. He says, "The paralytic hears the words of pardon and says nothing. Neither does he offer thanks in return, for he longed more for the cure of his body than of his soul. He grieved over the temporal afflictions of his enfeebled body, but had no tears for the eternal penalty of the loss of his soul. Judging that the present life was more agreeable than the future, rightly did Christ look with favor on the faith of those who had brought him there and ignore the foolishness of the man lying sick. So that by the merit of the others' faith, the soul of the paralytic was healed before his body." See, Christ, seeing the faith of those that endured to bring their friend to him, Christ took that into account and attended to the paralytic's ultimate need, which was eternal. The remission of his sins. I mean, sure, he needed his legs, But Christ's adopting this man into the fold, giving him assurance of a place in the church triumphant, gave that paralytic man more than he could have ever expected to receive. Christ clearly teaches us that the priority of our souls is much more than the decaying of our bodies. I want to also, it doesn't go without saying that Christ then used the physical healing of the man to show the masses that he was indeed God. He took that as an opportunity. After the scribes charged him with blasphemy in their hearts, not only did Christ say, "Not only do I know what you're thinking, not only did I just forgive sins, but while you're at it, arise." A tangible act that put everyone in wonder. So back to this whole merit of others thing. I want to take an example from Job real fast, the oldest book of scripture we have. Job 42, 7 through 9. Pardon me, I'll probably butcher these guys' names. It says, "After the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, 'My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will only accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has done.' So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamanite went and did what the Lord had told, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer." The question that I would have asked in my youth would be, why didn't God just, you know, why didn't they just go straight to? Because the faith of others matters in our own faith. This on the behalf of others piece in no way negates the importance of continual self-examination, prayer, penance, and making a point to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. However, I believe it's terribly important that we become mindful about what we're praying about when it comes to praying for others. Don't just pray that Johnny Churchgoer's grandmother's cancer would go away, but pray, beloved, that her soul would persevere also. Pray that her faith would be strengthened, that our petitions through the mercies of God, through the Holy Spirit in us, would contribute to our sanctification and to theirs. We ask intercession of each other, the saints, and the Theotokos on a daily basis. But are we praying for a temporal fix? Or are we actively petitioning for the salvation of those we pray for? Are we a positive factor in not only our own theosis, but in the theosis of others as well? Because a multitude of men had faith, one paralytic man's sins were forgiven. For the paralytic, salvation was not just that one-on-one with Jesus. He had faith, but he also had to thank his friends for their faith on his behalf. We need others to pray for us, and we need the saints to pray for us, and we need them to have faith on our behalf. And we need to extend that same faith to others, for our benefit, but also for the benefit of the church. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.